Sean Daly, reporting for Guaclaw. I'm here with Thomas Vigny, who's representing ISIS, and we're here today to talk about OPERA, and more specifically, the complaint of OPERA against Microsoft that was made to the European Commission. Perhaps you could just tell us a couple words about the complaint.
Well, the complaint raises two issues. One is the bundling of Internet Explorer with Windows, which the complaint asserts is contrary to the principle established in the judgment of the European Court of First Instance of the 17th of September with respect to tying. So in other words, the complaint states that the tying of Internet Explorer with Windows is unlawful under European law. And that's based rather squarely on the CFI's judgment of September 17th. The second claim relates to standards non-compliance, and the claim there, as I understand it, basically is that Microsoft has participated in several standard-setting processes related to browsers. For example, with respect to cascading style sheets, just to take one example, and there are not that many standards at issue here. It has participated in the formulation of the standard. It has indicated within the standard setting organization that it would implement the standard, and it has publicly stated that it was complying with the standard. But the implementation has not been forthcoming. And indeed, IE is in many respects far from compliant with standards and adopts proprietary, non-standardized Microsoft approaches to the technologies that are standardized, whereas other browsers, Opera included, Firefox as well, I couldn't necessarily assert that they're 100% compliant with standards. I don't know that, but they certainly are far more compliant with standards. So by Microsoft participating in the standard setting process, by stating that it will comply with them, has induced other browser producers to produce browsers that are compliant with the standards. Whereas Microsoft has not done so, because Microsoft obviously has a very heavily dominant share in browsers, website developers and web application developers target IE, and they therefore target their websites and their applications to the non-compliant IE mode. And that means then that except to the extent that they are able to have a sort of IE quirks mode that is achieved, as I understand it, largely via reverse engineering, other browsers like Opera do not work properly. In other words, websites and web applications won't work properly on them because they're targeted to the IE proprietary non-compliant mode rather than to the standards compliant mode that other browsers use. And that then advantages Microsoft, disadvantages the other browsers, and increases to some extent the application's barrier to entry that protects Microsoft's Windows monopoly.
Well, I think I can understand the first point. The Court of First Instance ruling was very clear about what constituted tying by Microsoft. It was, I think we could say it was a landmark decision. Opera is Norway-based. Norway is not in the EU, but they are a European company. I can understand why they would prefer to file a complaint here in Europe rather than in the USA. But as far as the standards goes, it seems to me like a much stickier subject to get around. For example, the devil is in the details. When we talk about standards, we're talking about CSS version 2, for example, or we're saying, okay, you know, the document object model, or we're talking about, you know, HTML version 4.1. And there's a certain level of technical expertise required just to understand what standards are being referred to, and which standards Microsoft should be coding to according to the complaint. How does the complaint address that? Is the complaint very explicit about which standards are concerned?
I believe the complaint is pretty explicit about which standards are concerned, and I understand that there is a test called the ACID-2 test, which tests, I understand legitimately, accurately, and completely, the extent to which a browser complies with existing standards. And so I believe the approach they suggest is that the AJAX-2 test would be one that could be the benchmark for determining standards compliance. So it's not sort of pulled out of thin air, and it's not vague or uncertain as it's presented, as I understand it. It's rather concrete, and the boundaries are pretty clear.
Now, as I understood, Opera is not asking for monetary damages. They're merely asking that Microsoft comply with the standards upon which they've contributed, participated. Is that the case?
That's correct, yes.
And how would this compliance be measured? Would these two tests be the benchmark, or what would be the best way to say, well, you know, IE8 that will come out in X number of months is compliant or not? How would we respond to that?
I guess the suggestion is indeed that this AJAX-2 test should be the benchmark that the Commission should employ in determining compliance.
Now, aside from the tying of Internet Explorer and the extensions, the Microsoft-specific extensions or the proprietary extensions, are there other examples of Microsoft conduct that Opera feels is damaging?
I believe that it's limited to the tying and to the standards non-compliance. I'm not aware, at least, of any other aspects of Microsoft conduct related to browsers about which Opera has complained to the European Commission. There may very well be other aspects of Microsoft's behavior that they're not particularly happy with, but I'm not aware of them, and I don't believe they've been complained about.
Now, if a person uses a non-Microsoft browser, which is not Opera, it could be Firefox or Safari, could there be any benefit to them from this case?
Yes, absolutely. I would think that any favorable resolution of this case for Opera would redound to the benefit of the producers and the users of all non-Microsoft browsers. If Microsoft is required to comply with standards, then users of Firefox and users of Safari would not encounter as many situations where websites, web applications didn't work properly on their browsers. And there would be a considerably more level playing field for competition. That would have some effect upon the application's barrier to entry protecting Windows. And so I would suggest that consumers broadly would be benefited. And, you know, I think it's uncommon for anyone to file a complaint anywhere for totally altruistic reasons. I would have difficulty believing that if anyone were to assert it. But Opera has stated that it is doing this on behalf of consumers for the reasons I've suggested. And that rings true to me, based upon my discussions with them, and simply based upon the content of what they have suggested and asserted. It seems to me that they are indeed pursuing claims which, if accepted by the Commission, would substantially benefit consumers and beyond consumers of the Opera browsers.
Now, if I wanted to play devil's advocate for a moment, I could say a browser came along 2 or 3 years ago and stated that they would someday like to have 10% market share. That was Firefox, and when that came out, everybody said it'll never happen. It's at 96% IE world, that won't happen. And yet, today we're in a situation where Firefox has made substantial gains, and apparently directly against Internet Explorer. And yet the information I have is that the Opera browser has had fairly flat growth over the past few years. Now, what Firefox, as far as I know, is a standards compliant browser. Why would Firefox be gaining market share against IE and not Opera?
Well, my understanding is that Firefox has indeed made some substantial progress. I think it's perhaps around 14% market share today. Having looked at the numbers, it appears to have plateaued there, or perhaps even lost a bit of share recently. And those who are more expert in this area than I have suggested that Firefox has gained traction largely among users of open source software and those who are geeks and technically adept and not the majority of Microsoft software users. It certainly seems from everything I've been able to read and ascertain that it's highly unlikely that Firefox will go much further in terms of achieving market share, and indeed, again, it seems to be perhaps losing a bit. And Microsoft retains over 80%, as I understand it, of the market, and it has obtained that market share through what I would certainly suggest is unlawful conduct, through the tying of IE with Windows. I have a very, very difficult time believing that Microsoft would have anything approaching its current market share absent the tying with Windows. So even if Firefox has made some marginal gains by virtue of certain circumstances which apply to it in a certain segment of the market, that does not in any way negate the fact that Microsoft has achieved these dramatic market shares as a result of illegal conduct. Perhaps I could just remind you of, I'm sure you recall them, but maybe I could state them nonetheless. The criteria identified by the Court of First Instance for unlawful bundling, and they are that there are two separate products, and it's very clear that Internet Explorer and Windows have been and remain separate products. I don't think that can be disputed. Secondly, the tying product, in this case Windows, must be in a dominant position with 95% market share. That can't be disputed, and indeed the Court of First Instance found it to be so, and Microsoft indeed admits it to be so. Thirdly, there must be coercion in the sense that it's not possible to obtain the tying product without the tied product, and indeed here it is not possible to obtain Windows without also obtaining Internet Explorer. And finally, there must be foreclosure of competition. Pretty clearly, there has been a rather dramatic foreclosure of competition. In the first instance, of course, vis-a-vis Netscape. Netscape was, of course, the by far leading browser, the pioneer in the market, really. And it was excluded effectively from the market. And I think that it is pretty indisputable that it was excluded as a result of the tying behavior. I think that anybody, frankly, who argues contrary to that is making a claim that it's difficult to make with a straight face.
Now, what would be, to your mind, a good remedy ordered by the European Commission, assuming that they agree with Opera? For instance, we saw 3 years ago that there is the unbundling of the Windows Media Player, And big surprise, none of the retailers decided to stock it. And even though it's theoretically on sale, I've never succeeded in finding it on sale, XBN. So what do you think would be the best remedy possible?
That's, of course, a very important and a difficult question. And clearly, neither Opera nor the Commission nor anyone interested in a restoration of competition in these markets would wish to see that sort of ineffective remedy adopted again. I think one needs to distinguish between two types of situations. One being the situation with respect to products that have been tied unlawfully for a period of time and which have become very heavily subject to the network effects that result from such tying with a monopoly platform, in this case Windows. And in light of those network effects, to really open the market for browsers, for example, up to true competition on the merits, so that there would be head-to-head competition on the merits between Opera and Firefox and Safari and IE, and that the tying and the after effects of the tying to Windows would not affect the competition in that market. You know, that's very, very difficult to achieve at this stage in light of the long-standing tying of Internet Explorer, all the investments that have been made by PC manufacturers surrounding it with respect to add-on software and all sorts of things. You know, the network effects have taken hold very strongly in many ways. So, you know, would a total unbundling of IE, so that, in other words, Windows were offered only without IE, that's a possibility, at a price differential, in other words, to OEMs, you know, there'd be a price differential, would that work? Perhaps. But in circumstances where there has been long-standing unlawful tying, I would think that it would be appropriate to consider a must-carry remedy as one that might have a chance of undoing, to some significant extent, the adverse effects for competition of the long-standing unlawful behavior. Look, with respect to, now just turning and looking at the issue more broadly, as I think is important to do, beyond browsers and beyond the Opera complaint, to the issue of tying more generally, there are serious issues on the horizon. Silverlight is one of them. Silverlight is, of course, a runtime, and rich internet applications are run on Silverlight. Adobe has announced a competing product to Silverlight, which is cross-platform. In a sense, you might say that there's at least a possibility of Microsoft facing a situation in the near future similar to that it faced in 95, 96 with the advent of Netscape's browser, where computing might move to the internet via rich internet applications and on a cross-platform basis, and that would commoditize the underlying operating system, and that could really truly open up the operating system market again finally to genuine competition, and threaten Microsoft's monopoly in the operating system market. And so, you know, Silverlight is not bundled today, but one could foresee the possibility of an exact rerun of that which occurred with respect to IE, to bundle it with Windows, to bundle it with Office, for example, potentially, or other similar mechanisms, and that could eliminate competition from competing products and face off that potential threat to Microsoft's platform monopoly. So that, with respect to that sort of tying, potentially a true unbundling remedy might work, because the network effects haven't yet taken hold, because the unlawful tying hasn't yet occurred, and so one doesn't have to deal with after effects, long-standing after effects in the case of IE, of the unlawful tying. So I think, to make a long story perhaps a little shorter, one needs to distinguish perhaps between the two situations of products that have been tied for a long time and ones that haven't yet been tied.
All right. What is the next step going forward from here? A complaint has been given to the commission. They will look at it. Is there a time frame? Have they said we'll get back to you? What's the next step?
Well, the commission has no deadlines for such things. It's up to them. They certainly are under pressure from their commissioner to deal with things quickly, and they presumably won't dilly-dally forever, but they have no particular deadlines. The only thing the commission has said publicly is that it's received the complaint and that it will study it carefully, and it added words which it usually doesn't add, because that's usually all it says. It says, we've got it and we'll read it. It said we will study it carefully, especially in light of the recent jurisprudence, in other words, the CFI case. And indeed, it seems to me rather difficult to dispute, actually, that this opera case is not on all fours with the Windows Media Player case. The boxes that had to be ticked and were found to be ticked by the Commission and then the Court of First Instance in the Windows Media Player case are, I think, indisputably tickable here as well. So it seems to me, to use American parlance, to be rather a slam dunk case in that regard. That doesn't mean the Commission will address it immediately, but it certainly has the legal tools available now to dispose of it rather rapidly, so wouldn't be surprising to see it go fairly quickly, but I have no inside knowledge on that and just can't make any predictions on that.
One last question. Since the CFI decision in September, there were negotiations between Steve Ballmer and Neelie Kroes. She announced that there would be compliance. What's your level of information concerning the Microsoft compliance? Is there good news? Is the protocol documentation coming? Is it positive so far?
Well, I'm afraid I really have no further information on that score. There are remaining problems with the license agreements that need to be worked out, and the potential licensees have been vigorously trying to obtain agreement from Microsoft to certain necessary changes to the license agreements, which frankly shouldn't be very controversial, but have not yet been agreed. Frankly, it hasn't been possible yet really to discuss them. So that remains an issue. And only when those issues concerning the license agreements have been resolved will it be possible for the potential companies who might potentially be licensees, I think intend to be licensees if things work out, for them to look at the documentation and see whether it is indeed substantially better and how close it is to being fully in compliance with respect to accuracy and completeness. So I don't have much news on that score, I'm afraid.
All right, Mr. Vigny, thank you so much for taking time with us.
Thank you very much.